Hello, everyone. Let's get started. I'm going to pull up those who are getting coached. So if you will, raise your hand if you got an email from Julie telling you that you've been selected. That would be great. And then we will get started. So I'm just going to tell everyone, this has been a tough week for Corinne. You know how like sometimes we say, life is half good, half bad. This is just a beautiful example of this. I'm going to tell y'all something. I have two team members leaving, which is hard on me. Sadie's last day was officially yesterday. So she signed off with us officially yesterday. And she came to me at 25. She was a baby. Nobody would hire her. We always laughed because she lied to get hired. She said, oh yeah, I know how to do all this stuff. She didn't know dick, but she was so good at figuring things out. Well, anyway, the bad news is I'm losing her. The good news is I'm so good at motivating people to chase their dreams that she's left to become a professional tattoo artist because that's her dream. And at 30, she's like, if I'm ever going to do it, now's the time. Like, you know, when she doesn't have littles or something like that running around. So yesterday she signed off from our private Slack channel. I bawled half the day. It's just hard. And then next week on Friday will be Emily's last day. Many of you know Emily Young. She joined NOBS in like 2008 or 2009. She's OG for real. And she's been an amazing member all those years. She's going to stay a member. But she too has decided to go chase her fucking dreams of being a sex coach. And so it's one of those times where I just want, the lesson in all of this for you is that you can feel two things at once. Like all week long, I have just been sad that they're leaving, distracted, all the things. Of course, you know, when people leave, you wonder how are we going to do their work? Both of them are doing a beautiful job of transitioning their stuff. I give them so much love and respect for making sure that we're set up well. And then the other half of me is very happy for them. The other half of me is very proud that I run a company where I teach women how to dream big and they go out and start their own shit. And, you know, that they're supposed to outgrow me just like, you know, big girls should. So anyway, I share all that while people are coming up to get coached so that y'all see, it's fine when we feel two things at once. I think a lot of times we're sitting around feeling an urge and then worried that like we just get consumed of feeling the food urge that we don't even think that we could feel something else. We could also feel compassion for ourselves for having an urge. We could also feel understanding that, yeah, these are the times when you do want to eat. We don't have to just feel one thing at a time. We get to play the balance between two things. All right. So I have Coach Christy up, and she will be watching the Q&A for me just in case there's some questions that come in. And then let me get my Q&A going just in case I need to see it. She's also going to be in the chat talking to y'all. And then let's pull up. I can't remember who was the person who's brand new. I just posted to you in Facebook. So I'm just going to take Cheryl Fitzgerald first. I was going to call on my newbie first, but I can't remember the name. I just remember going into the post real quick and saying, we're going to be fine. We're going to do this together. All right. Okay. I also, while we are bringing, there's Cheryl. While we're bringing her up, I'm going to show y'all this top. My favorite top in the whole wide world. This motherfucker is like at least 12 years old. I bought this at Cachet, which is now not even a store, but I cried when they closed them down. And so my husband is wanting to learn how to sew. He is like determined to learn how to sew and make hats. And I was like, okay, I would like to learn how to make this top. It's It's my favorite fitting top that I've ever had. I need to learn how to make these. All right, Cheryl, are you the one that's a little nervous? Or is that somebody else? Looks like you're frozen, Cheryl.
Wait, can you hear me?
I can now. Yes.
Yes, I started last week.
Okay. Well, good. Now I know that you've only been here a week, so I won't yell at you like I will yell at everyone else.
And I'm really nervous.
I know. I saw your post. My team even let me know before. They're like, check this post. She's very nervous, Corinne. All right. So what do you want coaching on, though?
Okay. First question is fear of binging. I have some bad habit of binging. I'll try something new, and after like 2 weeks, I totally sabotage myself. You know, I come from, I think I heard of one of your podcasts, you come from a single mother is
Cheryl, your internet is definitely not working. It is very jerky on my side. I'm going to mute you, and then I'm going to talk about phases of change, which is very common. And then I'll try to bring you, see if your internet's back and you can go into the next phase. So let's just tackle the thought. I do really well for a couple weeks. Then I binge. I have a habit of binging. And then you call it, I just totally self-sabotage myself. That probably doesn't feel amazing when you describe it that way. And it's not true, which is going to be a shocker as someone who's probably never heard this before. Like, what do you mean? I'm pretty sure that I fuck myself over. That's the way most of us think about it. So let me explain what the phases of change are. When you learn something new, and a lot of our members have heard this, so we're just going to do it one more time because I don't think we can all hear it enough, because everybody thinks, oh, shit, I ain't got a flip chart. Well, I don't have a flip chart. Looks like my flip charts have been moved somewhere else in the house. I'm not sure where they are. I'll just do it out loud. All right. When you first learn something new, you're supposed to be able to do it about 20% of the time. Then 80% of the time, you either do your old behavior or you get your brain offers up your old behavior. So a lot of times what we do is we make the mistake of thinking that when we learn something like, well, Corinne told me to do this, this all makes sense. It sounds so simple. I don't know why the fuck I can't do it. Just because you hear it, it doesn't mean that, you know, 40 years of the way you've been eating and the way you've been coping and everything, it's just turned off like a faucet. Something can make intellectual sense and seem to look really easy, and yet in the moment of impact, feel really hard, because your brain is going to want to react to certain situations the way it always has. So it's going to throw up your normal stuff. So when we first learn stuff in NoBS, the pattern for everyone is I hear about hunger, I hear about enough, I hear about this stuff, and about 20% of the time it's working and I'm remembering it and it's easy to do. 80% of the time it's hard. My excuses come in the door, like the flying monkeys of the Wizard of Oz. I just roll right through. I don't even know I'm eating until afterward. All of that happens. What it means is that your brain is starting to wake up. It doesn't mean you're self-sabotaging and screwing up, which that's what your brain is describing the normal process right now. It's like, I feel terrible about myself. And I want you to feel like, oh, this is how it's supposed to work. I'm supposed to still have binges. I'm supposed to still have these things while I'm unlearning all the behaviors that I have collected over the years of my life. And then what happens is that as long as you keep a good attitude about it, instead of sitting there, like if you catch yourself beating yourself up, thinking this should work, wondering why you're so broken. I always do this. If it wasn't for my bitch ass mama, I don't know if your mother was a bitch, but some of us are like, my bitch ass mama, whatever it is. As long as you remember when that starts up, be like, slow your roll, Cheryl. Corinne said, change takes time. We have to just keep moving forward through it. Because as long as you keep moving forward, your brain continues to wake up. Your brain continues to try to do the new stuff. We've dropped the link to the whole lesson inside of No BS for you so that you can watch. Like, there's basically what happens is you'll go from 20% of the time to all of a sudden, if you have a good attitude about it, 40% of the time, things are coming natural. You're just wanting to do that. Or when an urge comes in to binge, you're like, not today. I'm going to pause. I'm going to do something different. 60% of the time, you're still doing the old behavior. It's still happening, but you're getting wins. And then it goes to 60-40. Then it goes to 80-20. It never goes to 100% ever. No one will ever do this perfectly. I still over, hell, I overate yesterday. We went to family dinner. Next thing I know, I was like, I'm having sweet potato fries. I ain't had sweet potato fries in there forever. I just ordered them. You would have thought I don't teach this shit. So no one's perfect. And we can still lose weight. All right. So I want you to like, you watch that lesson. We have a new quick hit on it. It's less than 20 minutes. I think it'll give you some relief so that you don't feel like you're doing things wrong. Okay, let me see if I can unmute you. It looks like I can see your head shaking. So tell me the next thing you need to ask or what questions you have about that.
No, I think that's great. I find the planner is fantastic because in my head, if I once, I almost like talked to myself and said, no, I can have that tomorrow. Really helps me not binge, but like on Friday night, I had pizza on my planner and I had pizza, but I knew at the, oh, fuck it, keep going. And so it's like,
I hate to do this. I know that you're new, but your internet is just like not behaving. So I tell you what, if you want to do this, take everything else you want coaching and put it into the Q&A and just ask me the questions and I will answer them on this call. Most of the time, especially when someone's new, it's really easy for me to figure out kind of what's happening so I can give you the best advice. But I also don't want to have to keep asking you like, what'd you say? Especially when you're nervous. But ask the questions in the Q&A and I'll get to all of them. Okay. Thank you. All right, Tammy Swinney, I think you're next. Sometimes the internet gods just don't. Marcy, a lot of times, even when we take the video down, it still doesn't help. She's from Ireland, so it might just be like, I don't know, a large jump in the internet or something like that. But sometimes even when we take the video off, it doesn't work. But I can answer her questions. I'm pretty good at this at this point. Hey, Tammy, what are you coaching on?
Hey, so I need your help coming up with a mantra. So I know that you're a runner or have been a runner and I'm a runner and I find it like super helpful when I'm running races or doing super long runs and I have like these mantras that inspire me.
Okay.
And I'm within 10 pounds of my maintenance range. And I just know that like my hurdle to get me there is overeating. And it's generally at dinner. And okay. So, because we eat out a lot. And sometimes it'll be spur of the moment. And so
you think that eating out a lot in the spur of the moment is the problem?
I think I don't generally overeat at home when I cook, but it's something about eating out, like I don't know, that's when the overeats occur. And so I feel like okay. If I could just have some words I can say to myself that I will remember to say to myself, it's kind of easy when you're in a race. Like, you know, this is, I'm, you know, mile 18 and this is what I say to myself to keep going. But But I just, okay, I don't know.
Why do you not just say, this is what I say to myself when I sit in the booth. This is what I say to myself in the car ride over. This is what I say to myself before I place an order. This is what I say to myself before the order gets there. And this is what I say to myself when the order gets there. Track it like the miles of a race.
Yeah. And that sounds like totally doable. And I've written that stuff out, but kind of just triggering it and making it happen is my stumbling block. Well, number one, coming up with what the words are that really speak to me. And then just, so it's what, like I have amnesia or something.
I'm just going to promise you don't have amnesia. You have a thought about going out to eat. Like it just doesn't work there. It just like, I just lose my mind. I just have amnesia. None of that's true, but that's the way you're describing it. And when with our brains, when we describe it that way, we create what we want. Do you ever sit around and be like, you know, I've decided to start thinking like at mile 18, it's the worst mile, the hardest, and I'll probably quit.
Never.
Right.
Not ever.
So why would you ever allow yourself to think bullshit like that about going out to eat?
And I think that the thing is it's like, I don't think. Like I can't conjure up the thoughts. So what you're saying,
because you're not thinking now about it. You're not even thinking about success. You're only thinking about failure. And so like, this is what's happening in your brain. I'm going to go out to eat. I have a large story around it. I can't lose weight. That's my pattern. I have brain amnesia. Things don't work, blah, blah, blah. So your brain is like, ooh, going out to eat, scary deal. This is terrible. We're a failure over there. So when you start to go out to eat, your brain's like, oh, shit, we're going out to eat. It's going to turn off your reasoning brain because you've already scared the fuck out of it. It'd be like saying, hey, in that alley over there, there's a bunch of serial killers. And you're like, I don't understand why I'm not motivated and easy for me to walk down that alley.
So if I were to say, like, when it's time to go out to eat, my current thought is, oh, you know, I already planned this great meal and it's going to be a shit show and all this kind of stuff. I can instead say, like, when I do a race or whatever, going out to eat, this is go time. This is where I'm going to, like, this is go time. This is the race. This is what, like, let's see what I could do here. Think of it more like that, maybe.
Well, let me ask you this. When you said it just now, how does it feel about going out to eat versus, you know, I have amnesia and it screws me up?
It feels really motivating. And it does. I mean, it's like I'd started writing down different things. And when this meal kind of spoke to me a little bit, like, you know, this is your opportunity to win. You're going to win this. Those kind of things, anything that's putative and things like too abstract, like you got this, like, I don't even know what that means, but I can see like, this is go time. So when you know, like focus that, I think that'll help.
Yeah. So now what I want you to do is I want you to retell me about going out to eat and how you want to think about it in terms of losing the last 10 pounds, because this is one of the things that I think everybody does. It's like, it doesn't matter if it's your last 10 or your first 10. Everybody always has like this, like one thing that they think is like the boogeyman of their weight loss. Like, and for you, it's going out to eat. For some people, it's traveling. For some people, it's 8 o'clock at night. For some people, it's right after work. It's wherever they're what they call their overeating window. This is like my time where I don't shine. And it's important that we understand the story we're currently telling and challenging it. Like, it's like when you just say, like, I have amnesia, totally not true.
You're right.
You've created a story about going out to eat that it would make sense that when you go out to eat, your brain is too afraid to think, because the only thing you've told it to think is how terrible it is for you. So why would it ever want to even think about it?
Right.
So now tell me about it. Tell me a new story that you would actually believe.
So my new story could be going out to eat is where you used to throw your skills out the window. Now it's go time. You know what to do. You're going to win this meal.
So what does winning the meal look like for you?
Winning the meal for me, it means that I'm focusing on the person across the table and not the food, that I'm listening to my hunger cues, that I feel like it's okay. Like if I just eat a little bit and I feel like I'm satisfied, that it's not weird, I'm not wasting food. It doesn't matter if other people are still eating, that I can stop, just like all those things that I know to be true. But historically, I kind of like will tend to talk myself out of them, that I need to like stay true, that I can stay true. Because I do it other places, and I've done it with other things. I used to be like a slave to the bread basket, and I beat the bread. And chips and salsa were like, that was, you know, I just would throw up my hands. I know if we're going to go out to Mexican food, I'm going to overeat chips and salsa. And I've really been working on that a lot, and I made humongous progress.
So it's not true that you have amnesia, and it's not true that you can't do it. What is true is you already have evidence that you've conquered several things, which means you can conquer other things. Notice how the story is very different than the one you started off with. Like, even when you told me, you're like, I'm not, like, that bread basket doesn't own me. Like, now with chips and salsa, blah, blah, blah. There was a version here at one time that thought, like, oh, my God, that bread basket.
Yeah, I know, like, when I first started running and I ran my first 5K, I remember thinking, why would anybody want to double this and do a 10K? And then, you know, progressively, and then just the beginning of the year, I ran my first ultra marathon. Mm-hmm. And I would have never thought, like, at 5K that I would ever be there. And it's not that hard. It's just persistence.
So it would be reasonable to assume that just because you've been believing up until now that restaurants are hard for you, it's the spontaneity is a problem, that you're just wrong about it, that it's just what you've been thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that you just really showed yourself that there's two stories. There's one where restaurants scare my brain. And it's not like you're like sitting around like this, but when you tell it in such a hard, like, you know, I'm so broken, like my brain has amnesia and all this other stuff, it would be natural for you to go to a restaurant and your brain be like, yeah, we should really turn off our brain, because all we're going to do is sit around and think about all the ways that things can go wrong. And our brains don't like that. Our brains do. They're like, oh my God, please bring me some food. That would be even easier for me to quit thinking about what a danger zone we're in. Because our brains, for all of you, especially for my newbie Cheryl, when you paint that picture, your brain has now created like faux danger. Our brains are so weird. It's like, as smart and as intelligent as they are, they can't decipher the, like, when it feels fear, when it's afraid or something, it can't decipher whether it's life-threatening or fake. Mm-hmm. And like being afraid of going to eat at a restaurant is a fake fear. It is not like you're going to die. It is not like somebody's coming out with a butcher knife if you don't finish your, you know, meal. But our brains, they interpret the fear as, this is life-threatening. So when we take down the story, when we really take a lot of the, you know, inflammatory language and stuff around it, so that we at least get it to neutral or empowering, which I think you now have more of an empowering story because of your history. It's like, okay, the last 10 pounds are going to come through restaurants. That's where they're going to come through. And I've already shown myself that I know how to train myself, how to have agency, authority, and control. And I already know what I'm most like, I already know most of my bullshit excuses that are going to come in every single time. I just don't have to like think they're true anymore. Like I know they're not true, even when they come in and they feel urgent to solve. And you start telling that story and you start saying like, it's go time. Then when you go in, your reasoning brain is like, I can be online because I'm not sitting here thinking that Freddy Krueger is going to be serving the meal.
Right.
Okay. How does that feel to you?
Oh, when you said that your last 10 pounds are going to come through restaurants, that was it. That was all I needed to hear.
I would bet you, if you ever took the Strengths Finders, that competition or something like that might be high in you.
Yeah.
Number two in my strength of the 34, competition is number two. So, what that means is that anytime that you can set something for us, it's like anytime you can, if you are, I don't know if you are, but if you set yourself up to feel like, okay, now this is like, we got to get this done. Like I want to prove to myself this is happening. It taps like an inner strength and motivation that you can use. So you can take it for free. If you go online, look up Clifton Strength Finders.
Clifton Strength. I'm going to write that down.
It's interesting if nothing else. I've used it in business, but I also use it just to kind of get a better understanding of just how I operate so that I can like set things up in my life to achieve things using my biggest strengths instead of always trying to figure out like, what are my faults and my flaws? I need to get those going better. You know, like, we're just going to build on our strengths from now on. Well, thank you.
Thank you. It's been
good. Good luck in any future races you have.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Alicia. Lucy Mancini, are you here? You're also on the list to get coached today? Let's see. Okay, so Cheryl said, we'll continue what Cheryl said. Sorry about my internet. I had pizza on my plan, but when I was eating pizza, I knew I had enough, but I didn't stop. That's exactly what I was talking about in the phases of change. That's very normal. Our job is to say like, all right, now that I've noticed, like the good news is I'm now noticing when I'm enough. You know, a few weeks ago, I wasn't even paying attention to that shit. I just felt hopeless and like I'm always going to be overweight. And I would just eat from that mindset. Now I'm eating from the mindset of Corinne's taught me to pay attention to enough. So now I'm going to pay attention to enough. What you realize is like, now I know when I've had enough. Now I'm going to work on when I have had enough, the strategies that are involved in order to stop eating. That's my next thing I'm going to work on. So it's not like, I want all of you to hear this because it's so important for all of you. And I don't care if you've been here 1 week or you've been here 1 year. All of us do this. It's the idea of if you notice that you're not so, I have learned that I'm supposed to stop at enough. Okay. The version of me in the past wasn't paying attention at all. Now there's a version of me that knows that this is important. Progress point. Then we get to where we're practicing it. I notice that I'm asking it now. Progress point. And sometimes I still overeat. So my next lesson. So another progress point is that I'm willing to admit and work on the fact that I know to stop it enough, but I'm still choosing not to. So now that's a progress point. The next progress point is like, all right, now I want to understand my reasons for not wanting to stop it enough. What is it that I tell myself? What are the things that I need to be aware of? So now I can start working on overcoming those things. And then you will have progress points that go along there. Eventually, 80% of your lives, you will be stopping at enough without even having to think about it. So you will keep moving forward, overcoming one little excuse after another. For some of you with enough, you may conquer I have a few things that I think. Number one is I don't want to stop it. And I've noticed that I don't like stopping at enough when it tastes really good. Another excuse that I often do is I notice that this week, I also didn't stop it enough because I was kind of like weirded out that I'd be wasting food. And then I also noticed that I didn't want to stop it enough when on Thursday night, I'm a teacher, I'm back in school, and I still needed to grade papers and I was dreading it. So I ate longer at dinner because I was dreading doing papers. And I just thought if I can just eat enough, then I'll have energy to keep going. So now we've got like three things that we can work on. Now we ain't gonna work on all three, bitches. We gonna work on one at a time. So it's like, all right, for this week, I wanna pick the one that I feel like either will move the needle the most Or I want to pick the one that feels the easiest to do, or the one that like it's automatic to me that I could listen for it and talk myself off the ledge. So whichever one, there's no right one, because the version of you that loses all their weight, guess what they have to do? They have to fix each one of them at some point. But they don't all have to be fixed to make progress. If I want you all to think about it, because this is where y'all get fucked up in the head so much. Y'all want to fix everything overnight. And you don't even need to. What you do need to do, though, is pick something and move the needle on that something. Because when you cut out, let's say that you say you pick out this week, I will not eat because of wasting food anymore. To me, I can probably unlearn that one. It makes sense that my ass ain't a trash can, that I really don't want to be the garbage disposal for the family anymore. So if there's bites left, I'm going to say this dollar is worth throwing away. If it means that I can lose 100 pounds mental weight by overcoming this, or I'm going to start wrapping shit up and get over leftovers. Maybe I can learn to like leftovers if I'm that concerned about the money. Like, we got to make trades. So this is the week where you're just like, I'm going all in on wasting food. I will not eat because of wasting food. And I will make sure that if I feel like shit about it, I'm just like, look, this is the only thing we're tackling this week. So you can do hard this week on this. The only thing that feels hard is all you're thinking about it. And then you just come up with shit that you're going to tell yourself. So if it's like wasting food, but here's some of the things I tell myself all the time. Like when I think I need to finish something, I slow down. I put my fork down because I tend to just like, you know, I'm cocked and ready all the time with my fork. If you ever watch me eat, I'm just like, I eat in bed, like me and Chris eat in bed every night. Here's my food. Here's my fork. And I'm just like, ready to go. So I slow down purposely. And when I won't eat those last bites, I'm like, all right, you got to put the fork down. Like, that's all you got to do. If you want to finish it, you can, but let's put it down. Let's take a breath. And let's like think about this. Do you want to be a garbage disposal? Is this really worth it? More does not make this taste any better. Me eating this is not saving this family no money. Best way for me to save this family money is to quit overeating so I can quit overbuying too. And I talk about those things. And then the rest of the week, you still pay attention to enough, but you don't work on the other excuses yet. And the beauty of this is when you untangle one excuse, when you get really good at unwinding it, the other excuses from that point on become just a little bit easier every time, because now you have evidence that you can overcome bullshit. It's a good deal. And then imagine for all of you, when it comes to enough, if you like, let's say you had three big reasons and you knocked one out this month, where it's like, you know, I really don't eat over wasting food anymore. That used to be my thing, just like our last caller. Used to be, hoovered them bread baskets when they came. Now, I don't touch them. You start giving yourself evidence that you can do this. And then when you get evidence that you can do it each time, the first time, you're not only trying to overcome your excuses, but you're overcoming your doubt that you can do it. You're overcoming all your hesitancy. You're wondering if this will work and all this other shit. Then when you start working on the next ones, you've proven to yourself you can do this. So the doubts and the hesitancy and the wondering, they all start going down. So things start getting easier. All right. Let's see. I'm looking for Lucy Mancini. If you're here, we've done Tammy, we've done Cheryl. Cheryl, I'll get your other question in just a minute. And Alicia, if you're here, there's Lucy. So I'm looking for Alicia. Melissa, I don't have you on my list. Oh, shit. Alicia, you're pulled up. Let's go. I forgot you were sitting there. Lucy, you just hang out on stage. This I was having a good time. When I get on a big rant about something, I'm like, where is she? All right, I'm go here. Ahead. What do you want coaching on?
All right. First, I want to give a shout out to my accountability group called the Thought Ninjas. All right. So I've been with No BS since April of 2020, and I've lost 75 pounds. But I'm most proud of the, yeah, right? I'm going for 100.
That's amazing.
Thank you. I haven't even got to the best part yet, right? So I'm so proud of all the new habits that I've developed, including strength training and starting classes to get certified in personal training and nutrition. But at the beginning of this year, thanks. So at the beginning of this year, I was still feeling like really crappy despite all of these really amazing things. So I went to the doctor and I found out that my hormones were a little bit off. And although I have removed myself from that pre-diabetic category, I'm still insulin resistant due to PCOS. So sorry, I'm really nervous. I need to breathe here. So
you're fine. He offered me,
listen, I'll get over it, right? Just like everybody. So I have a medication option for each of those that I started in July to kind of resolve the hormone stuff and then the insulin resistance. But my question really is, I lost my hunger signal during the month of July. Like I'm typically dependent on the growl and I'm pretty consistent with that, right? And I also seem to have a different biological response to food. Like it's changed, my biological response to exercise has changed and so forth. And so I'm finding myself focusing more on protein, carbs, dietary fiber, these types of things. Okay. And my real question to you is, how do I align all this new information from the training world, from the doctor about PCOS, and get that in alignment with No BS as I move forward? Because I've got here with a scientist mindset. Data analysis is my thing, and I want to move forward that way.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned that now that these words, they're like trigger words, maybe just protein, carb, this type of stuff, they're coming up. I'm worried like, oh crap, is that diet mentality? Am I getting into that?
Here's what but I for my know.
Okay, go.
Why do you think something has changed that's not No BS? Because the way I'm hearing you tell it, it's very in line with everything that I teach.
Okay, yes. So far the trainer and the doctor are in line with that. They're supportive, but I don't have a hunger signal that I'm used to. I have been looking for new ones.
Yeah, but it's not so about crazy. Hunger signals. What is the
But you teach like weight for hunger. So like I'm really focused on that. So maybe that's where I'm hung up.
It's not what I teach.
Oh, okay.
The lesson is not weight for hunger. The lesson is we're going to learn how to honor our body.
Got it.
And so for most people who aren't on meds, the easiest way to do that is to just fucking listen to your body. You are listening to your body and it needs meds.
Okay.
And you're honoring your body.
Right.
It's just turning off your hunger signal. So now you just got to honor your body in a way that works with taking the meds with your knowing that your hunger signal sounds. So yeah, that probably means you need to look at protein. You need to look at macros and things like that. This is what's always confusing to everyone. Like protein, macros, and carbs, or whatever y'all are doing. That's just on the do line. Diet mentality has to do with the thinking that has you doing that stuff. Right now, your thought is like, I need to fix my PCOS. I need to fix my hormones. The doctors are putting me on this medication. This is what's best for my body. That's not diet mentality.
Okay.
Diet mentality would be like, I can only count protein, carbs, and stuff like that because I'm such a fuck up around food. That's diet mentality.
Okay. So it's not a problem that I'm eating to nourish my body versus like, oh gosh, my stomach is growling. Like, so the fact that I don't have my traditional hunger signal, I'm making it a problem. It's not a problem. It's eating to nourish my body, eating by the clock, which I think you kind of talk about this for shift workers. So maybe like I'm eating to fuel specifically instead of, okay, listen, cause girl, I was going like 24 hours without a stomach growl and tanking my blood sugar, feeling awful. Then I'd eat something and I'm back up
Just because like, this is the thing that would be not listening to your body. Just cause you don't have a stomach growl, your body, like your blood sugar is saying, we have a problem. You really need to eat. Yeah. I don't know how to send you a tummy growl, but I need you to fucking listen. Like, could you just do that?
Like, okay.
So, like, you're totally in line. And like, you said something like, so nourishing my body isn't a problem. It's like, no, it's not. Nourishing your body is never a problem.
Right. Like, logically, I know that, but it just feels, and my doctor is the one who said, oh yeah, like this medicine, you've really got to think about nourishing your body versus waiting for your stomach to growl. And I went, oh, well, duh, that was just on Tuesday. Right. So
it's just like when we have, like we have several no BS women who are going through cancer treatments right now. And when they're in cancer treatments, it, you know, their hunger signals are whack-a-doo. And they need to eat in a way that helps them, you know, have energy, show up for their treatments, you know, all this other stuff. It's not diet mentality. If they're, you know, drinking Ensures and stuff like that, it's called like figuring your shit out. You just have a very specific circumstance. You're working it, I feel like you're working in it intelligently. You're like, you're doing it from like, what is best for me? And that's like the, probably the ultimate thing that I want you to take away from it is that your mindset is looking for like, what is best for me? What feels really good? Don't like, it's very common. Like when y'all hear the tactics, like, okay, we're going to learn how to listen to our body. We're going to like at the, you know, the whole essence of doable hunger is we're taught to shut off our body's signals. Now we're going to eat by these external things. Well, your body, like there are external things you can do, but at the base of it, you're still saying like, what is best for me? I've lost weight. I've done it like the no BS, like tactical way, but PCOS still is here. Hormones are still here, which means now I need other methods, other tactics with the same thought of like, I am going to listen to my body. I am going to nourish it. And I'm going to do what's best for it.
Awesome. Okay. That is so helpful. And I really appreciate that a lot. I felt like I was on the right track, but with the intention of first helping myself with the certification in personal training and nutrition, but then getting requests from other people as they've watched my process and my transformation, getting a career started in that, I want to make sure I'm taking a really positive experience to anyone else that I happen to help. So
you can totally combine all of that stuff. I promise you. When I first started, I was an A certified trainer in the beginning. Just saying.
I assume so.
Oh my gosh. I used to write the best workouts for our members. Like every week I had new workout drops and all kinds of stuff. I was very into all that. In fact, if you're old school, some of y'all probably still have like, I had a, I think it was called the Sweat Your Ass Off book. Like we had like a cardio book. We had a weight book. We had all kinds of, and I always named everything.
That's awesome.
With cuss words. But what I found as I was helping everybody like with exercise and all that stuff is that the mental component for me in the very beginning was missing. So I shifted and pivoted because I was like, oh my God, if they don't get their mental, like I had gotten my mental game together. I realized like, I can't just teach them what I did. I have to teach them how I thought about things. I had to teach them like, these were the thoughts that I had to change and I had to overcome. Otherwise I couldn't have done everything that I did. And so for you, it's like just blending both of them in. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with giving anybody. Well, I would never give anybody nutrition advice just because I am not a nutritionist. Like I don't pretend to be one, but I mean, good Lord, fruits and vegetables. I think we can all agree we should eat them. Like those are great foods for us for many reasons and things. So there's nothing wrong with taking what you've learned and your interest in nutrition, your interest in exercise, blending all of it together. And that's what will make you a very unique weight loss coach.
Cool. Thank you so much. That is absolutely wonderful. Appreciate you.
All right. Bye. All right, Lucy, you're already up here. Let's go. I'm just moving fast now. I think we have another call today, don't we? Let me look. Pretty sure. Queen's Club is today, y'all. That's fun. Lucy, if you're here, you can go ahead and turn your camera on. That'd be great. I am going to go ahead and talk to Cheryl's last question while you're getting your camera suited up. Also, my confidence has been knocked over the years by my ex-husband saying I was so fat. All right. So one of the things that you're going to learn in the program, Cheryl, this will happen in module two, is that our confidence is inherent inside of us. It's a feeling that we have that is generated by how we think. It is not generated by somebody else's opinion. It is not generated by what's done or said to us. What happens in the world is your husband will say, you're so fat, right? Now, let me just say all of this, y'all. This does not mean that words don't hurt. Like, we're entitled to be hurt by them and stuff, but we want to be very aware of when we are. If we say he hurt my feelings or he sucked my confidence dry, then that means he has to change for me to feel better, or I have to change in a way he now thinks is acceptable just so I can feel better. That's some bullshit. We can feel confident when we teach ourselves how to think about ourselves. So he says, I'm fat. Or you're fat, you have a thought that makes you feel unworthy. And usually the thought will be, he's right, or I should do better, or see, no one loves me. Those are the thoughts that when we apply it to what someone says, that's what disempowers us. That's what sucks us dry. Now, for me, if somebody, like, very often people say rude fucking things to me on the internet. And I've had people I love say rude fucking things too. So, but I'm going to give you a recent example, whereas I know most of you wouldn't care about this, but the other day, if you don't know, I do run ads to, I have a business, so I do run ads. Many of you probably got here because of an ad. Thank God I do, or you wouldn't be here, right? So on those ads though, have to show them to millions of people, and millions of people on Facebook love to do nothing but then to leave shitty comments that are not nice on random ads because they don't know me, right? The other day, there's a picture of me on stage and I'm literally crying. I'm coaching, like, I remember the moment. It's like, I'm crying. I'm coaching someone in that moment who had had a traumatic experience. Now, they don't know all that, but their comment was, you need a good bra. Of all things, like, my post was about, like, you know, empowerment and, you know, like, blah, 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 whatever shit I believe in. And this person, the best thing that I got to say is, you need a bra. When I read that, I was really hurt. But here's where it was different. I didn't think they shouldn't say that. I didn't, like, spend my day, like, trying to figure out ways that they're right. Like, oh, let me look at my boobs. Are they right? Like, ooh, I didn't do all that. I noticed that I want to do all that. I want to think that other people's opinions must be true because I'm a human. But what I did is I reminded myself, you're a human. You don't like it when somebody else doesn't like you. You're a human. I needed that question, but I'm sorry. I didn't even finish the question, Christy. I'm sorry. Like, one of the things that we need to remember is that it's okay to be hurt, but just tell yourself this. I'm choosing to be hurt right now because I don't like it when someone doesn't approve of me. And that's different than he did this. The other thing that I do is when I am hurt, especially like when, if somebody called me fat, and I've been called fat a bajillion times my entire life. I've been called fat since I've lost weight. People on the internet tell me all the time, I'm too fat to be a weight loss coach. I always tell myself in those moments, here's what I'm also going to believe, that my opinion about myself is for me to decide. I no longer let other people make up my mind about how I'm going to think about me. And when I do that, that makes me think about how I want to think about me. It makes me uncover ways that I'm thinking about myself that I wasn't even hearing and that I wasn't appreciating. I always, when someone's words hurt me, I start looking for how is it that I'm agreeing with them in my mind? Like if somebody calls me fat, I always look for how am I doing that in the mirror? How am I doing that in my closet? What are the things that I'm like letting myself get away with in my mind around my own body? Because I don't want to work on someone else's opinion. And I don't want to make it okay when somebody's an asshole. We can do that kind of thought work, but God, y'all, it's kind of like a waste of time. Let's just agree, asshole. Opinion, like not important, but my opinion is. And if it hurt, it's alerting me to where do I need to do my own work? I'm not working on a jerk, but I will work on if I'm being a jerk to myself. And usually that's what's happening. So I always like to think, Cheryl, you brought the goods today. For somebody who was so nervous, great topics. I just like to think that, all right, if I'm hurt, I want to be understanding and compassionate with myself. And I also want to understand where might I be doing this to myself? Because that's what I really need to fix. Because I live with me 24/7. And I want to know every little thing that I think about myself so that I can up-level it. I can change it. I can question it. I can work on myself, whatever it is that I need to do. All right. Let's see. Is Lucy, Lucy was up and down and all around. Lucy, are you here? If you are, you need to raise your hand. She may be having problems because she came in and out a couple times and didn't look like her video was ever going. Let's do this. Catherine, if you're here, you are the alternate today. Would you like to come up and get coached? Did the asshole given any suggestions on good bra companies? No, they're such an asshole that they didn't even give me a suggestion of where I could go get one for my boobs. All right. I'm going to just, Christy, you raised your hand and let's see. Catherine's last name is Cranbrook. That's the Catherine that had submitted. All right. I'm just going to call. Let me call on Melissa. She's had her hand raised the whole time. Melissa M, if you do not want to be called, it is time to look at your phone or your computer and lower thy hand. Otherwise, I am bringing you on. Sometimes y'all butt dial me and then y'all get pulled up and you're like, oh, I didn't mean to. But we got like 5 minutes. I'll go ahead and grab somebody. You coming? Last chance. All right, Christy, I'm going to call on you. Let's see if we can get you up here. Some of y'all are just butt dialing. This is like mama needs to like give everybody a lesson on how not to do that. All right, Diane Knutson. Maybe Zoom is just not bringing anybody up. Y'all don't start raising all your hands. It looks like, Christy, you need to lower your hand. Coach Christy. Christy denied. Denise, trying to get you up. There we go. Or not Denise, Diane. Diane Knutson or Knutson, one or the other. Make sure if you raise your hand to come on, y'all, that you got to be seated and with good internet and good sound. All right, Diane, let's get going. Where's your camera? All right. What are we coaching on, Diane?
I want some coaching on how to overcome my thinking about why I overeat at times.
Okay, so what do you think right now? Why do you think you do it?
I think that, like last night was an example. I thought I had already blown it. So what the hell? Why not? Just go ahead. You already blew it.
So why should you like just not keep eating?
I'm sorry, what was that?
So we know that your brain is like, fuck it, I already did it, womp womp. And it's going to send a rush of like self-hatred type, like hopeless self-hatred type emotions. But why should you just not do that? Why should you like allow that thought, feel bad, and then say like, but we're not eating anyway?
Well, that's what I should do. But I think it was like shaming myself. I was, yeah. I felt guilty. Yeah. And
of course, I mean, we agree that all that happened, but why not just be like, I feel guilty. I feel bad. I wish I hadn't have done it. That's normal.
Right. Right. So
have
I journaled.
Tried that?
No, to be honest, no. But I did journal on it today. Okay. I did a discovery sheet, and I journaled on it today. And what I decided to do was not beat myself up over it.
Right.
And today is like a new day, a new start.
No. I don't agree with this. Let me stop you there. Today is a new day. I'm fine with that part. But what you're trying to solve is like, well, now I don't want to feel bad that I fuck it ate. And I'm like, fine, let's not feel bad about that. But I'm talking about how can we get to where we can just feel bad that we overate? How can we just like be like, yeah, and sometimes I feel guilty. Like, I want you to think about the difference between what's happening for you. The way you're describing it is like, my brain says, fuck it. We should just keep eating. And, you know, like this, like, you know, you done screwed up and blah, blah, blah. And so it's like doing that. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to watch that conversation. We're going to let that conversation come in. And we're going to say, it's normal. It's normal to overeat and be disappointed in yourself because you're going to have thoughts like, I should do better. I should do all this other stuff. It's also normal to sometimes feel guilty because we wish we hadn't done it. Sometimes we feel regret. So now we're going to have that conversation about the guilt, about the regret, and about everything in that moment. Right now, you're having that conversation the next day. And now I just want you to back the truck up and be like, all right, we overate. So now what we got to do is we got to quit the fuck it eating part. Let's just get to just regular overeats. So my next step in my weight loss journey is, all right, when the shame and the regret and the guilt and the fuck it, we should just keep eating. I'm just going to tell myself it's normal to be disappointed and it's normal to be upset. And it's like, all of this is normal, but that doesn't mean you keep eating. It means you turn on compassion.
Right. Instead of beating myself up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this self-sabotage, I'm like 4 pounds from my goal. And I just like, the closer I get, the scarier I get.
What is scaring you about, like, I'm 4 pounds to goal, and now all of a sudden I'm feeling fear
that I won't keep it off.
Okay. So this is like a simple fix. I want you to spend the next 30 days journaling first thing in the morning, all the reasons why that thought is no longer true.
Okay.
Right now you're just like, okay, well, I just need to keep dieting. I just need to keep like trying to be good. And I hope that all that fear is going to go away. It's like, no, the fear ain't going nowhere because you ain't working on the fear. You're just sitting there just like, I am braced for the storm.
Exactly.
It's not because you want to fucking eat.
Yeah. Because of past failures. You know,
it's not because of past failures. No, you're wanting to fucking eat. Because you keep thinking you're going to fail in the future. That has nothing to do with your past failures. That has everything to do with today. Diane is deciding to think her future is full of failure. So now your brain is on high alert. So every time you overeat, it's like, see, not going to keep it off. I'm
exactly
look at all this. It's like, let's just fuck it. I need to get away from myself. I got to get away from my fear. And now I got to get away from my regrets. It's like, yes,
exactly.
Now, like, we try to act our way out of all that. So what I want you to do is start actively working on calming yourself down, proving to yourself, like right now, every day, you're visualizing failure. You're giving your brain lots of like, please be on the lookout for any way that I'm not perfect so that I can like beat myself up. We just want to break the habits of looking for failure. We want to break the habits of shaming ourselves. We want to break the habit of thinking about future failure.
Right. And think more about my future self and how much she will be able to do and have done and praise myself for what I've done. I get it.
So like the future version of you, I promise you, Diane, still overeats. The one that's lost the last 4 pounds, there's a version of Diane that at some point believes she's keeping her weight off. And now what I want you to think about is that version of Diane, what does she do when she wants to, like when she does overeat? Let's not even go to the wanting to overeat. Because I believe this and I watch y'all do it all the time and I know it's true. When you work on how you handle yourself after overeats, it becomes really easy to handle yourself before an overeat.
Okay.
But what y'all try to do is like, I need to fix the overeat so I can quit beating myself up. I'm like, that's backward.
Right.
We need to stop beating ourselves up so that we're like, then we take away a lot of the reasons why we continue to overeat.
Right. And I'm going through my accountability group. We're going through Thoughts 2.0. And so I was listening to you yesterday and I did a thought switch. And my one thought I will never keep my weight off. And so I switched it to, I'm learning a new way to for permanent weight loss. Mm-hmm. I'm learning skills that promote permanent weight loss. And so that kind of helped me. And so yesterday, after I overate, I went back and I looked at it and it's like, okay, I know what I did. Mm-hmm. I still felt bad, but I knew what I did.
And it's okay for you to feel bad. That's the main thing that I want you to really take away from this. I think you're trying to escape feeling bad.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And like if you overeat, it's like you're trying to escape feeling bad. So now you just fuck it, eat. And then you go to bed, you put distance between it. Then you're willing to look at it.
Right.
And I want to like shrink the window. It's like, if we're going to have a point where we're not as inflamed and maybe we feel just a little bad, how can we get that closer to the overeat so that we don't have to take the fuck it eat step?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's one thing I know I don't do. When I have an overeat, I will do a discovery sheet, but it's the next day. I don't do it. So maybe that's.
Try doing it closer. And then even if you don't want to do it when it's closer, at least when you want, like, use the fuck it eating verbiage that comes into your head, like, you know, fuck this, I shouldn't have ate, I might as well just eat, whatever that is. You know that story. Mm-hmm. So now you have the, like, a lot of people don't even know they're saying those things to themselves. So like, you know, Cheryl, who was our first caller, who's brand new, she doesn't even know this stuff. Like, can you imagine when she's at your stage where she's like, oh my God, like I know all my excuses. I know exactly what my brain says. The moment you know is the moment you have authority. A lot of y'all think the moment you know, you're like, oh, I have a problem. My brain wants to go to fuck it eating. It's like, no, you've uncovered what you absolutely need to know, which is when this sentence, when these thoughts start, now I need to talk to myself in a new way.
Yes.
And you, for a lot of you, don't just say like, don't go to what you're not going to do. Like, I'm not going to eat. Like, no, go to understanding, go to normalizing, go to the compassionate side. Like, of course I would be upset right now. I keep saying I don't want to overeat and yet I do it. It would be normal to feel bad about this, but that doesn't mean I need to keep eating over it. I need to understand
it,
the overeats. I need to understand like why I feel bad right now. I need to remove parts of feeling bad that are unnecessary. Like when you say guilty, it's like, I want to learn how to no longer feel guilty for an overeat. I want to start trading that in for understanding.
Right.
And then there's like disappointment. I think it's normal to feel disappointed if you overeat, because in my mind, if I have an expectation and it's not met, I think it's normal for a human to be like, I thought this was going to happen and it didn't. Womp, womp. You know, it's like, yeah. If I thought I was going to get paid this Friday and, you know, the check didn't come, I don't want to be like, ooh, I guess the world is greatness for me. It's like, no, I want to be disappointed. So yeah. I can like call somebody up and I can do something about it. So like when you have overeats, y'all, it's fine to be disappointed. It's fine to be like, I thought I would do differently and I didn't. So now that I'm disappointed, I can use it as a trigger to figure out, what do I need to be doing differently? What do I need to be thinking differently?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. Thank you. Thank you again. You've been coaching me quite a lot lately.
I knew your face was familiar.
I've been a year. The August 11th, I joined last year. So,
and how much weight have you lost? I can't remember.
Well, I started at 350 years ago, and now I'm 194.
Yeah. Well, so, I knew it was a lot, and I don't care whether it started with me or not. You've been plugging away, and now you're on this last little bit, doing it the way you want to do it. I think that's amazing.
Well, I think this program that you have is amazing because it's the only one that truly makes sense to me, because I've done it all, you know, Weight Watchers, Optavia, I had a gastric bypass, but it, like you always preach, it's all about your thoughts and your feelings, and no other program identifies anything like that. So I appreciate you so much.
Well, thank you, Diane. All right.
And bye.
All right, y'all. Since we have Queen's Club that's coming up at 1 o'clock Central Time, which is about 50 minutes from now, we'll go ahead and stop here so that any of y'all who would just like to enjoy some more coaching today, come back for Queen's Club. Queen's Club is for those members who have lost 25 pounds or more. They get access to the Queen's Club. They get a special call with me, and they raise their hands and I coach them. But anybody can attend a Queen's Club call. So it's available for all members to learn about what are the things that people who have lost 25 pounds, what is it that they go through? What are the unique things? Like, what can I see on the horizon of my weight loss? So always a good call. I love coaching Queen's Club. So come back. And just, I saw a couple of people who had a couple questions. This month, we are deep diving into the 24-hour plan. So I hope that everybody has made their 24-hour plan today. There is a whole self-study course on it. And this month, the Q&As and different things are all structured around using your 24-hour plan. We have a lot of cool resources, and we also have like a bottom line version of it. For those of you who don't want to use the full planner, we created a smaller, quicker version for you to get your plan done. So check it out if you haven't already, and I will see y'all in 50 minutes. Bye, y'all.